The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Now I invite you to listen to the speech of Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I start by hoping and praying that each and every one of you are well, that you are healthy, and that you are doing what is necessary at this time to be precautious and be filled with patience. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates that He has a purpose and a plan behind everything. Everything that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does is not arbitrary, and it's not something that lacks a vision, it lacks a plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has numerous verses in the Holy Quran where He makes this abundantly clear. For example, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 115, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. He says that you think that we have created you aimlessly, in vain, without a purpose, right? In another verse in Surah Al-Sad, verse number 27, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا. That we did not create the heaven and the earth and that is that which is between them aimlessly. Again, without a purpose. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does has a purpose behind it, has a vision behind it. And this is not something that we believe as a theological, aqaidi concept simply because God tells us so. Rather, this is an intellectual deduction that we can make on our own considering who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. For example, when you look at our own lives, that when a person has a plan, when a person has a vision, when a person has purpose behind what they do, that person is looked at having a praiseworthy quality, right? A plan and a vision is not something that is looked at negatively. So for example, you may have a teacher who plans and is prepared to teach his or her children versus a teacher who just comes in and kind of wings it. The person who is prepared is looked at as being a better teacher, a better planner, because they are able to put in the effort behind it, right? Even, for example, how we view different places that have an organization or a plan. Like, let's look at the mosques, for example, right? And there are mosques which are very well prepared, right? So they obviously start on time, but at the same time, there is a flow of the people reciting. People have been assigned. People have been notified that please come on time. You'll be reciting this and that. And you see that there is a nice flow and organization to what takes place. And then sometimes we go to a mosque, and I'm sure we've all been to some of these type of mosques where you come in there and then people are sitting and they're like, Tu Yasin Paris. Will you recite Yasin? And you look at that and you're like, whoa, where's the organization, right? Because having an organization, having a plan, is always deemed to be praiseworthy. Because it's not deemed as being something that is bad. Now, of course, having a purpose and a plan doesn't mean that we have to be rigid in that. Doesn't mean that we can't bend or mend if plans change. This is not what we're talking about. But just the idea of having a plan and a vision and a purpose is something that we deem to be praiseworthy, within us. And so how can it be that we have a quality that is praiseworthy and it not exist in the one who created us in the first place? And this is an intellectual deduction, right? There's a philosophical concept known as فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْتِي, that something which is lacking cannot give something. So how can we have a positive quality when it's lacking in the one who gave us our qualities? And it's for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be the best of planners, right? Allah says in the Holy Quran, in the verse that we read in the khutbah from Surah Ali Imran, verse number 54, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ, the disbelievers planned, but Allah planned. Wallahu khayrul makirin. Allah is the best of planners. Now the word here, this is interesting because we have to address this, that the word that is being used here is makar. Lexically, the word makar, like in today's colloquial speech, the way it is understood today, basically, the word makar is used in a negative lens. It is viewed to be something negative, meaning it's a plot or something deceiving that somebody does, conniving that somebody does. And so it's not looked at as something positive, right? I remember I had gone with a brother to visit someone in the hospital, and he was an Egyptian man. And bichara, he was sick, and so this brother thought he'd throw out a Quranic verse to make the guy feel better, and he said, "Makaru wa makarallah, wallahu khairul makirin." Now that dude was understanding it from a colloquial sense to say that he tried to deceive God, but God deceived him back. And so you can see his facial expression change. But that's because this is understood, he was understanding it from the way that's used today. However, if you look at the tafsir of this, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, Hafidhahullah, he says in Tafsir Al-Amthal, quoting Ar-Raghib Al-Isfahani, the linguist, saying that the word makar here refers to refuting a plan of someone else's with another plan, be it good or bad. It's not necessarily a bad plan, a plot, something done to deceive somebody. It's just a refutation or the rebuttal of someone's plan with another plan. Now that plan could be good or bad, but in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Wallahu khayrul makirin, that Allah is the best of planners, He's clearly not going to attribute Him being the best of something bad, right? And so we have to understand the context of what is being said. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, look, I am the best of planners, right? There is beauty in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to learn to submit. And in fact, it's in these moments when things don't go according to plan where one can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's this lovely hadith. He says that I understood God, or I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the breaking apart of my resolutions and by the invalidation of my plans. He says, I resolved, but He dissolved. Subhanallah, yeah? He says, I resolved, but He dissolved my resolution, and I planned, but He invalidated my plan. That's when I knew, the Imam is saying, that I'm not in control, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. So that's the second point, right, that we have to develop. The first one is we have to try and reflect to see what God wants. The second is submitting to whatever the plans of God are. And the third one is to utilize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be organized and have plans ourselves.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir. روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين صبور مجيد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل على